Hey, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is August 6, 2023. Yesterday. Yesterday I came to another one of those dang days where I go, uh-oh. And I tried to go to republicbroadcasting.org, and it didn't load on my device, right? I have a little Android damn thingy. No, I think it was an Apple damn thingy, right? It wasn't a phone, but it is a device, right? And it tries to load up Republic Broadcasting so I could listen to it throughout the day and couldn't do it. Well, at least through the web page. The stream was still going. We're having a problem with the web server. There's a problem. We're not, I don't know what is going on, and that's not my place to know anything about necessarily. You know, I know they're working on it. I know that the crew has done an exceptional job of keeping Republic Broadcasting going and changing since John Stadtmiller has left us. Right, or he died, was killed. I'm not too sure. Don't want to start a rumor about him being killed. But that's not the point for this conversation. We are in a little bit of a time where Republic Broadcasting is less available than normal. The people that, listen by phone or listen by satellite are still served. The people that know how to, listen by streams without the website. And the website is loading on some in random things, but it takes like 5-10 minutes to load on a PC, so you're back in dial-up days. But, you know, needless to say, they deserve your support. They deserve support. We need to support RBN. Do you want it to go away? No. You're listening. So I need you to right now, or in a few minutes, just take down this phone number and to donate, man. You know, we're going to keep this thing on the air. We're going to fix this problem, and we're going to move on. There's going to be a lot of problems to come. You know, one of my worst scenarios where we were under attack. Attacks come from many different ways. Without money, you can't mitigate an attack, right? It could come from the, the dark hackers, blah, but it's not right now, not that I heard. And it could come from the governments, right? The United Nations, those kind of people, they're on war on words. They could have delisted RBN. That was one of my first concerns, that we're at the quickening and this is happening. So get your pen. Here's time for you to take action. And I don't normally push very hard to try to help Republic Broadcasting, right? So I want you to take this into account. You know, you do need to donate right now. They do need your support. We got to try to keep this thing afloat. A vote, whatever. You guys get it, right? Here's the number. Pens out, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Once again, that's 800-724-2719, hit extension 3. Now, there's really no go to the website and smash a button or something like that, and I really don't know how to smash a button on the internet. But yeah, you can... you can try to get the page to load, right? And there is a donate page or donate tab or button, or, and there's really not a button. It's kind of more like the word donate. You can try. You can go there again, right? I'd ask you to donate now, right? This weekend, right? They've got a lot of stuff to deal with on Monday morning with the website having problems. So your help right now would be really greatly appreciated. Sorry about that, guys. The network just really needs help right now. Dead air.
And I'll jump in real quick and just say, you know, unfortunately, guys, you know, we've only got 2 hours here, not 2 months, and or 2 years to discuss everything that needs to be discussed. So if we're going to get through Dave's stuff, we better
let's get back to Dave's. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Those are all good points, though. Just having a platform to be able to discuss this information is valuable. So keeping the lights on in growth, we got to keep the information flowing and outward and that does require funding. That's just simply the way it is. So definitely give if you can. Doesn't matter how big or how little your contribution. Support the sponsors and ads there at the site, and do what you can. But yeah, as you can see, it's easy to get wrapped up in these goals as you bring examples in for each one of them. I knew that hitting all 17 of these was going to be difficult, but I'm going to try to ramp it up here a little bit and see if we can make it. Goal number four, quality education, right? Help educate the children in your community. Obtaining a quality education is the foundation to improving people's lives and sustainable development. All right. Obtaining a quality education. Who gets to determine what quality is? And why is it that that educating of our youth is critical to meeting their definition of sustainable development? All right, they're going to, and they've said this, we own the science. They manipulated Google when we were doing researches about COVID and the vaccine. All right, they said they own the science, and we've got to, people just got to understand that. Well, that's not the way science works. I'm sorry. That's the way socialists view science, is they find the stuff that matches their narrative. That is the official science, and everything else is viciously attacked. So, yeah, quality education. Do we want them in our schools? Because the very next one, goal number five, is gender equality. Now, this is pretty elusive, all right, to empower women and girls and ensure their equal rights. All right, gender equality is not only a fundamental human right, but a necessary foundation for the peaceful, prosperous, and sustainable world. In like I said, in the very beginning of it, their picture in the tagline, they talk about women and girls under gender equality. You know this is not what they're limited to. Yes, in this country, we don't have to worry about that. Women can do and go after any job they want. They can do whatever they want. They're complete equals, equal in opportunity. Now, the UN, because they're dealing with other nations, there are other nations that do not view the women in their society in the same, through the same lens that we do here. And they like to try to keep that focus on that. But in reality, they're part of the gender cult. They are part and parcel to the gender cult. So as you mix their goal number five with goal number four, all right, gender equality with quality education, again, who gets to define what quality is? And it's not us. The UN has decided in the window dressing for this gender equality. If you think the UN simply believes that there are men and women are getting a raw deal in some nations, you're not paying attention.
I'm over at goal five targets, right? Goal five targets is, you know, the targets that they're trying to achieve, right? And I thought they were also pushing this one, right? They say they want to eliminate harmful practices such as child, early and forced marriages, and female genital mutilation. If I'm not mistaken, you can go back from five to four, and in the education process, they decide if they want to mutilate a female's genitals or a male's genitals when they're kids. So it confuses me. Are they for it or are they against it? But maybe that's what they want to do.
The mutilation has to be one of their choosing.
Okay.
They're talking about countries where they yeah, they literally surgically remove and cut off the clitoris of women.
Yeah, I understand.
That's what they're talking about.
But they're doing it here, too, for another reason.
Yes.
Right? You know, there's... but I distract from the goals. Continue.
Okay, so it's easy to see, you know, there's a direct connection between goal four and goal five, how they're interconnected. But, you know, you can connect it to the poverty, to the hunger, to health and vaccines. All of these are meant to be bars of the cage. They all work interconnectedly, and you'll see that as we go through. The next goal, goal number six, clean water and sanitation. All right, avoid wasting water. Clean, accessible water for all is an essential part of the world that we live in. And that's true. We need water as individuals. We saw what happened when you let sanitation just fall by the wayside and you pollute your own environment. Is illness sets in that just horrible. Now, what you'll find is that the land use policies, we got the, we've got federal regulation here for both air, for water, the Clean Water Act. We have numerous Soviet-style agencies that regulate this area. And in our state, you can't do anything. If you do anything to remove, fill, dredge, or alter a wetland resource, and a wetland is determined by a combination of its vegetative community and soil chemistry, you have got to pull permits for absolutely everything. And at the same time that they're regulating vegetative. The snot out of the individual, they're letting forever chemicals being used in industry that are going to be in the environment forever. That there's government often creates some of the worst. And I point to the train wreck in Ohio. And people that should be in jail for the rest of their lives for what they did down there. So, yes,
control of water. Aqueous film forming foams that they've been using as firefighting agents for how long at airports and military bases and elsewhere? Yeah, mm-hmm. Forever chemicals.
Yeah. But this is one of those things that connects us all. We all need water, and you will find there's nothing you can think of that you use and leverage on a daily basis to sustain yourself and your family and your community. There's not one thing that is left untouched by the UN. If it's something you need, you require, they will have control over it. At least that's their goal.
Yeah. View
that we should not allow that, but...
no, we shouldn't.
That is the way it goes. Goal number seven, affordable, clean energy. In the picture shows what looks to be two Muslim women holding a battery-powered lantern in the dark. And this is, the imagery that goes along with it. And yeah. Energy is central to nearly every major challenge and opportunity. That's true. That's true. Because if we had free and affordable, they get to say that you're all going to have energy. You're just not going to have any energy you want. You're not going to have whatever energy is most local and most available in your nation or region. You're going to have affordable, clean energy. Who gets to decide what's clean? They're going to decide what's clean. So you see how this has trickled into the United States. Is they're just about forcing you to be the government's best customer of electric cars. And we talked about this before, guys, that if you were to take every person with an internal combustion vehicle, whether gasoline, diesel, whatever, and say, here's your electric car, hey, here's your extension cord, here's your plug-in, go to town. We do not have the capability of creating that many vehicles, the batteries, we just don't have the raw materials to do it. And we don't have the infrastructure to actually charge them. The carbon outlay per unit of carbon is greater. This is not saving us anything. This is control because they can turn you off. All right, in America, we get the right to travel freely, right? Well,
they've got that covered, right? A couple more goals down the road, they'll tell you the solution for them removing our cars. They have it outlined. You're not supposed to have a car, but sorry. Yeah,
interconnectivity. That's the interconnectivity.
Yeah. This is like a quilt of control.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very much. Goal number 8, decent work and economic growth. Right up front, this sounds like something that's very anti-capitalist, very much slathered in socialism, because it sounds like they are going to engineer what and decide what is decent work, and in what sectors do we need growth? Do we need roofers? Do we have a lot of people, young families, buying their first single family home? Or do we have a future of people that's going to be abandoning all of their private things that they could own so that they could go to a living cubicle somewhere? All right, economic growth.
You have capital investment group going in and buying out whole neighborhoods that are being built, and there is no private ownership, that you are renters. Yes,
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but, decent work and economic growth, very generalized, but, that's where your clean energy jobs, they're going to have people hired to take down hydro dams, maybe. Who knows? But the economic growth is like Bidenomics. Mm-hmm. All of the businesses and the business ventures that were created, the jobs that were created, are all jobs that are directly related to these 17 sustainable development goals. So if there's job creation to be technically counted through Bidenomics, it is the type of job that is selling us down the road to globalization. All right. Goal number 9, industry, innovation, and infrastructure. Again, this is top-down planning. Here in America, you have capitalism, you have a free market, and there's no voids and vacancies in a free market system. Because if there's enough people that want a widget, and your community does not have a widget factory, there's going to be someone out there that says, hey, you know what? I could make some money. And there's nothing wrong with making money. It may sound greedy and all that, but if you have an entrepreneur, someone with the ability, the financial ability, to create a widget factory, and as long as we have a free market capitalist system and a commerce clause that prohibits others from coming in and monopolizing, we the people, the consumers, become the beneficiaries as these industries organically compete for our business to put out the best quality product for the lowest price. That's always what you get. It is the maximum benefit to us when you let the free market do its thing. When government comes in, they say, this is the technology that we want. You don't want widgets, you're getting gizmos, and these are the people that are going to build them. Well, these are the people that are demanding, a minimum wage, that come to us without skills, that can't get their ass out of bed before noon. They demand a livable wage in our quest to eliminate poverty. All right. So interconnected, top-down development, engineered societies, completely engineered societies is what you're going to hopefully take out of this.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, let's grab a phone call before we move on. We're moving along pretty quick right now. Not quick, but I'm sure we'll hit a bump. Let's grab Mike in Kentucky, and let's see what he has to say. Real quick, that's funny. Mike in Kentucky. What's up, man?
I was trying to get the karaoke going for Tennessee Ernie Ford. Same old song, right?
Same
what do you get?
Song,
another day.
Yeah.
Yeah, another day older and deeper in debt.
Thank you for your call. Just kidding. We'll hold you on. Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we've been talking about the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. We got Mike from Kentucky on the line. He wants to weigh in on something or other. What's up, Mike?
It's a cloudy day, and I was born one day when the sun didn't shine. made my way to the number 9 mine. Yeah, it's just an old game, isn't it? All empires are built on cheap labor. I can't remember where I found that or heard that, but I can't find it on the internet anywhere. It's like it's been erased, that idea that all empires are built on cheap labor. Without
need to have it. It seems that the premise, right, is you need to have a dual-class society, the rulers and the ruled. Right, and that's been going on. I guess the concept, you know, and I agree with you. Let's just start with that, right? And we'll let Dave comment here in a second. But I agree with you on that. But what is the whole premise? The rulers and the ruled need to be there. The concept of the Republic of the United States of America was different than that. That allowed everybody to perform to their own ability and everybody get along. At least, well, that's my fantasy that it meant. Dave, do you have any opinion on that?
Well, again, America's unique amongst the nations of the world in that, you know, we we don't crave rulers and leaders. We crave public servants here so that we, the people, we're supposed to do the hard work of providing our own security, economic innovation. These are not things that are supposed to be dictated and controlled by government. So, you know, again, we're unique in that we don't look for rulers. We want just enough law and regulation. Like I said, our Constitution's got the Commerce Clause. It's a mandate on government to keep commerce regular, to remove obstructions.
Commerce, I'll beg to differ with you that. A law, U.S. versus Lopez in 1995, was written about by a lot of legal scholars. It was supposed to undo 50 years of Commerce Clause abuse, going back to the radio regulation and stuff.
I'm not saying they didn't abuse it.
Well, not. Federal government is limited in its scope, and that Commerce Clause has been abused ridiculously.
Yeah.
Oh, I think our whole government has abused everything.
Right. So, you know, they lost their legitimacy a long time ago, but most of us, most of the folks out here are just too uncomfortable with trying to fix it. Oh, gosh, they'll just crash the whole... And I've had a couple of old men in my life say that kind of spontaneously in a conversation. They just short-circuit the whole conversation by saying, well, if we resist, why, they'll just crash it all. And I'm like, where did you learn that? At the lodge? You know?
Hey, you want to feed in on that, Alan? Oh, any thoughts?
No. I mean, I've got lots of thoughts, but we ain't got just a whole heck of a pick of time left.
Yeah,
all right. You're absolutely correct.
Hey, there is a slogan, like it or not, and I finally heard how it was, I got to go look it back up, but that was one of the things that America was founded on, was the enthusiasm of the Christians, no king but King Jesus. And on the Liberty Bell, it's quotes the Bible, proclaim liberty throughout the land, and that's the Lord's liberty, and we've forgotten about that, you know. Everything about our government was created for a moral and religious people. Otherwise, it's useless.
Anyway, all right. Thanks for the call there, Mike. I really appreciate it. Hey, but before we move on, I've got Amit hanging on the line, and we got another couple minutes. We got time for Amit. Hey, Amit, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Ellen. And good morning, Dave. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
I may be commenting on a few things discussed in the first hour. That is, teachers considered God. So I am a mere first-generation immigrant. I was born and raised in India. So teachers are indeed God, but the agenda they come up with makes them different. So all I want to say in summary is 2 points. Incrementalism and old parents soon going to die off. So for incrementalism, please consider that DACA, that is deferred arrival for, I should say, deferred action for childhood arrivals, that came in last decade, maybe in Obama time. And now we have Illinois signing into law that illegal aliens can be hired as police officers. So just
sure.
Consider...
incrementalism.
At the time DACA came, who thought that one day this day will come that they will be allowed to be hired for police positions? And the second thing is about capturing children in schools via real estate taxes. That's real estate taxes. I doubt they have a legal basis even at state level. Compel parents to send them to public schools. And the public school thought is very simple. I think Lenin or Stalin has said that for parents getting aware or alert or alarmed, that, okay, yes, we have your children in schools. What are you going to do? You are going to die off in a few years. And the sign for that is just consider the average age of an RBN host is easily in 50s or 60s, maybe even higher. So that shows that those who were born and raised in this country took so much time to be aware of what is really going on.
All right. Thanks, Amit. You know, we'll respond after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. So
here we are. All right. We're back. Coming in hot and heavy. Texas Radio. Thank you for your call, Amit. You know, as per the teachers being gods, I kind of agree with you to a certain extent. You know, maybe in the days of, let's say, Aristotle, Pythagoras, Dave Kopeck, right, being his teacher to his own son throughout his life. You know, respected individuals, right, that false platform that they put forth, that every person that sits empowered in a school is, to be looked up to, honored. I'm not sure about that. I need that whole institution to go away. That's just my point. Any comments about what Amit was talking about, the DACA, the incrementalism, or anything like that, Dave, Alan?
Incrementalism has definitely been our enemy, as we tolerate the little tyrannies while they're tolerable, and now we're just awash in them, you know, in teachers. But, you know, again, looking through the lens of a child, a person like that, an adult in their life, is someone they're, intuitively going to look up to, but one with the title of teacher. They're all knowing. They can't be wrong, right? Well, we're graduating kids who can't read and write, yet they are hell bent for election that they're going to transition these kids and get them on puberty blockers and all kinds of things and confuse them, have great lengthy discussions and seminars and floods of books and videos, websites on gender. These are not teachers anymore. They're indoctrinators.
Yeah.
Now, these are re-education camps in the most dangerous place for a parent right now. And I've developed a pretty hard line on this is, you know, I'm a homeschool parent myself. I pull my kids out. And I hear from parents all the time that tell me how rotten the schools are, how horrible this indoctrination is. Yet they force their kid on that little yellow bus and send them back there. This is soft child abuse right now. If you know, I'm tired of hearing whiny parents coming up to me complaining about what these school districts are doing, and then they send their kid there. I don't take the excuses anymore. There's not one parent that I've talked to that was not capable of successfully homeschooling their children. And that's the one option for those with kids trapped in that system now, is homeschool is really your only option, or private school or something. You got to get them out of the public camps. But then we got to have a long-term goal of complete reform. You know, we need homeschool parents on school committees to start tearing down that horrible institution and, you know, get back to the point where kids can read and write, maybe even develop a trade. The trade schools, what happened to us? We outsourced all that, and boy, are we paying the price now. And
hey, that sounds like you're really good with goal number 10. But before we go on, Alan, do you want to bounce in, or do you want to go straight to 10?
I could expound, but
yes,
go ahead. Nothing else
please
really needs to be said. We could talk for a year on this, every one of these subjects, but let's move on if we can and see if we can whip through this.
Yeah, Dave, go ahead. Tell us how we're going to goal 10, support the marginalized and disadvantaged. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's reduced inequalities for the marginalized and disadvantaged. You know, there's always a little good and a little bad here. Has America made strides towards people that have handicaps and such? Because, you know, even someone who's, say, confined to a wheelchair, you know, this is a horrible thing. It's, you know, no one likes to see it. But these people are normal people. They still have the same feelings and drives. They have to come to a realization there are some things that they can't do. But they are individuals, and they want to be as independent as they can. They want to be as functional as they can. They want to be less of a burden on others as they can. So when we, you know, make accommodations for restrooms, for public access, if someone is able to get out and move about and go shopping and whatnot, you know, do I think there's room to be welcoming, to make sure that they can get into your store, to make sure that they can use a bathroom or whatever? Yes, because it helps commerce. You'll have people shopping that normally wouldn't because they simply couldn't get to your store. But, you know, to what end? This is a slippery slope again.
Hey, Dave, we had a success story with that. The ADA forced us to build a new prison. And what we thought, just because they were housing 10 people at a normal rate, that it was going to be crazy to build an 80 to 115 person jail, right? And we're like, well, who are we going to have those 8 people in it? But they successfully managed to fill the damn thing after they put it up. Mm. Interesting. And now it's ADA compliant, so they can have handicapped people that go to jail.
but, you know, having handicap allowances so that they can engage in commerce and they can interact with the economic motor of our country is a positive thing for the economy. It gives independence, because that is what we're about here in the United States, is independence and individualism. But what you'll see is where the UN will come in and say, okay, well, these are all of our you know, business sectors that we want to see thrive, and we want your business now to make sure that you can take your fair share of blind people. All right, let's say you've now got to convert a bunch of your machinery, or you got to invent a job just to be able to say, yes, we can hire blind people. All right, this is not what is supposed to happen. We're not supposed to leave those that are misfortunate behind, but, you know, those that are a good Christian, too.
As a person, I really do support the marginalized and disadvantaged. I do get a little upset when we're talking about this subject, because the way that the governments have gone around doing it, there's so much fraud within the system, and I see it day by day. They say we're going to give access to these people, yet other people take advantage of it, and I really, man, I could argue with you on this.
With the government employees and yeah, those, they get more of the money that's budgeted. Our tax dollars go more to administration than it does to the people that need it. So this should be taken care of largely by the nonprofit sector, those that do the fundraising and make those improvements directly, and by educating commerce in how they could be just a little bit more accommodating and be able to leverage the dollars. You know, someone in a wheelchair buys things. It would be crazy not to allow them to come into your establishment. But those are all very organic, direct market signals, things that are taken care of, not by government, but by the businesses and society itself. Goal 11, this should be familiar to a lot of people. It's been kind of sexy and in the news a little bit, is sustainable cities and communities. The 15-minute cities is what people should be thinking about. And again, top-down engineering. Your community, your town, your city is not going to be a reflection of the collective inputs of those that live there. You know, what is it that they want? Again, there's no vacancies and voids in a free market system. So what type of a community is developing in your town? Is it a bedroom community? Is it more industrial? But it's not going to take on the shape organically. This is government. And think of these 15-minute cities where they come in and they say, this is the zone where there's industry. This is where you'll go to work. This is the zone where there's residential, where you got a living cubicle, maybe a little park, a place to walk your dog, and no private vehicles. There's no need of that in your sustainable cities and communities. As you're now in public transportation, public housing, everything is government control.
You will not have the ability to decide on yourself what work you will go into, what business you will create, what business you will be able to start. This is like what happened in the Soviet Union, you know. You were told where you're going to work, you know. You will be told, you know, what business you can have. And as one of the guys that came out of that, he said, you know, someone asked him, and said, what happened over there? And he said, well, the government pretended to pay us, and we pretended to work, because no one really liked what they were doing. They had no free choice of what they were going to do. They were told what they were going to do. So, and he said, the government pretended to pay us, and we pretended to work. You know,
in their new city, though, Alan, you're going to be a potato farmer. You're going to live in Zone 7, and you will either take your electric bike to work, but they're going to tell you what you want. You don't get to go through school, aspire to be an astronaut for a while, and then decide you want to be a machinist, and then you're going to, be a machinist. No, you're going to be a potato farmer if they say we need potato farmers.
And depending on your social credit score, that you you can't buy meat. You can't buy potatoes. You know, all you can buy is Soylent Green.
Right. Yeah. That's and they're installing, believe it or not, sensors. This is up in Canada right now, where when you walk in front of the glass case, it scans you, either the card that you have or the chip in your hand or whatever. It scans you, knows exactly what your social score is, how well behaved you've been, and that door will either open or remain locked based on your food rations. This is unbelievable.
Sorry. Oh, wow, that's really screwed up. Knows when you have been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Whoa, that's old.
Santa Claus, huh?
Yeah, guess so. You know, maybe that was put back there. Goal 12, I love this one. I grew up in a recycling world, right? Santa Clara County in California. was an early adopter of aluminum recycling. They forced us to do it for many years. And by the way, goal number 12 is recycled paper, plastic, glass, and aluminum.
Yeah.
And so they gathered all this stuff, right? And they said, you must recycle. If we find something in your can, you know, we're going to fine you. But you know what they did? They brought it all to the dump themselves.
Yeah.
And that's still going on. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the jobs that I did through my environmental degree and whatnot is I was a landfill monitor, and I watched them bring in all this glass that residents across the countryside separated, make sure it wasn't broken. They drive up with a truck and just throw it in the back where it all breaks. But when they drive it to the landfill, they go into a metal building, dump it out on the floor, and then a giant payloader with steel wheels drives over it and breaks it all up. And then they pick it up and dump it into another truck where it goes out the back, and then it's dumped in the landfill because it costs more per unit of energy to remelt glass and make glass again than it does to take sand and make glass the first time. So what would be sustainable? It would be to make sure you have sterilizing plants in glass bottles that are reused. The milkman used to drop off milk in a bottle. He would drink the milk and give the milk back.
And as children, Dave, what did we do? We collected Coke bottles and Pepsi bottles and everything and took them down and got money for it. You know, that was extra spending money. Same thing when aluminum cans came out. You know, me and my father would drive us up and down the roads, and we'd go out and we'd collect aluminum cans, smash them down, put them into a bag, take them to the recycling, and we'd, you know, get a little bit of money for it. You know, extra spending money.
Yeah, but I want to point out, though, Steve mentioned the tagline, the byline to it, recycle paper, plastic, and glass. But goal 12 is actually responsible consumption and production. This is government deciding what you as an individual, what is reasonable and sustainable for you to consume. And again, I go back to the biodiversity assessment report to find out what is not sustainable. And you read that and it'll say home and office air conditioning is not sustainable. Private transportation. All right, again, going back, Agenda 21 or in the mid-90s, they were already planning the attack on your private vehicles in your consumption patterns, rationing. All right, you're going to get your block of government cheese. And you're not going to get to choose what kind of cheese you want because it may not be sustainable. But this is government control of consumption. You don't buy and use what you want, what you can afford. You buy and have access to what the government thinks is sustainable for you.
Goal 13 is annoying, very annoying. But hey, whatever. What is goal 13?
Goal 13, climate change. The UN has known right from the get-go that the environment is one of those things that connects us around the world.
Can't prove it.
Well,
maybe you can prove that it connects us all around the world.
But what they've done is they've politicized, monetized, and weaponized a natural process. This is right up my alley because I did a little bit of studying on climate and the effects of weather and how these things change over time. And I live in an amazing part of the country where I can go out with a backhoe, dig a hole, and see what glaciers laid down here multiples of times. We've had a mile of ice over my head numerous times in the past. It's going to happen again. The UN understands that this is cyclic. So they can, with a little bit of predictability, say this is probably going to happen here in terms of temperature changes, sea level changes. We already know. We know these are happening, and they happened before humans, before the Industrial Revolution. This happened. So they know it's going to happen naturally, but they've politicized it and weaponized it in order for them to seek and gain control. We should be having a public discussion about climate change and what we're going to have to do in 1,000 years from now. I mean, any grand movement or migration of people is a major thing and requires a long time to plan and to do incrementally. We need to be talking about how to shift agriculture, because where agriculture is now is not where agriculture will be in the future. Should we be encapsulating, in the name of preservation, all of these resources? I don't care if it's oil, timber. You know, my opinion as an environmentalist is use it while it's there. If it's use it to keep energy cost and development cost as low as possible, unleash the power of capitalism and the free market system in your entrepreneurs and inventors out there. You know, I've said this before. What if they went and netted all of that big island of floating trash out in the Pacific? What if we did a big effort to clean that up, net it together, and terraform the top of it? Literally bring in soil and compost and have a giant nation-sized island that we just move around in the ocean and grow food on. I mean, why are we not having discussion? I know that sounds kind of bizarre and way out there, but you know what?
We can talk about that another time. You know, I've heard you discuss that before, and it's worth, you know, going deeper into it. But you're moving on to what goal is that? 14.
We're
talking about plastic bags in the ocean, anyways, right?
Yeah.
But you are on 14.
Yeah, that's 14. You know, and we do have to be mindful of that. But again, do we want the UN and the deep state to control such a large resource? We certainly don't. Goal 15, life on land. Again, this is government control, like the Forest Legacy Program. You know, that's how the UN literally can dictate in your town how much development goes on a piece of property that happens to be populated with trees. We don't want that. Goal 16, peace, justice, and strong institutions. This is where they fortify the Soviet.
Whoa.
The new Soviet. Things that are not government, but create policy, regulation, ordinance, and code, and manage us like cattle. So these are your stakeholders, those that speak on your behalf. Goal 17, the partnerships. That Soviet system, what they described there, if you back up and you read a little bit more in the Goal 17, you'll see that that's that fascistic relationship between government and corporations that is not supposed to exist. All right, where
around here, we have the Alamo Area Council of Governments. Nationwide, you have planning.org, the American Planning Association. Yes. Everything.
Yeah, we got local partnerships in our town, in our cities and towns, in these little efforts where, you know, you go to their website and look at their partners. They're international.
Yeah.
All right. National Autobahn, that's international NGO. Nature Conservancy, an international NGO, a international level land trust. And these are our partners. They're all Soviet partners. They never partner with elements of government like your county sheriff. that won't ever happen. So the devil's in the details on this, guys. As you can see, we could probably pick any one of these and exhaust an entire show digging into the dangers of any one of these 17 goals. But realize the interconnectivity, that this has been going on since the 70s, and it's serfdom. Global serfdom.
Mm-hmm. How'd you start the show? You were talking about Charles Schwab's daughter. What was her name?
Oh, what a monster.
Schwab's daughter?
A monstrous woman she is. She said that they have been planning this for so long, that it is so advanced and so far along, that even if we knew and we resisted, it would be futile to resist it.
Well, see, the funny thing is I hear we're winning all the time, especially when the person's losing. It seems like an incantation that they do, right? And I will agree with you that we're not anywhere, but I don't believe her necessarily. I believe she's saying something to do something, like, well, Biden cured cancer, remember?
Yeah, they want us to feel hopeless.
A week ago, he said that we've ended cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
they want to instill a sense of hopelessness.
Cancer hasn't been anything.
That we stop fighting, that we stop trying. If we feel hopeless and that anything we do is helping, that's why I started out saying absolutely not true. We are making a difference. And they've come out, and Klaus Schwab himself said, we have got to double down on Agenda 2030 and ramp up the timeline. This is specifically right. due to the pressure and the understanding that shows like this bring about. I really encourage people to share this show with public officials, your selectmen, your town planners. They need to know.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Dave Kopick of Red Pill Politics, Saturday nights, 11 to midnight Eastern Standard Time, 10 to 11 Pacific, Central Standard Time. Pacific, I don't know. Alan, thank you for joining us, too. I'm Steve O'Brien. Have a good day. Say bye, folks.
The beggars, 'cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese. Have to pay. Give a woman free kids and you'll find them in the dirt. Learning how to carry on the family line of work. It's the man in the White House, the man under the steeple, passing out drugs to the American people. I don't believe in anything. Nothing is free. They're feeding our people that government cheese. Government. Cheese government. Yeah. Decline and fall.
Decline and fall.
Fall down, baby.
Decline and fall.
I said fall way down there.
Decline and fall.
Come on, fall down, little mama.
Decline.
Oh, decline and fall. Give a man a free ticket on a dead-end ride, and you'll climb in the back even though nobody's driving. Too goddamn lazy to crawl out of the wreck, and he'll ride while he waits up for the welfare check. Going to hell.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.